Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana. Our show is brought to you by Happy Valley United. Mike, tell you what, this is your first shot at a show after a loss. This is a big moment for you, my friend.
I know, I'm a little worried with some of the stuff coming at me, but you know, I think I'm prepared and to talk about it and talk about it fairly. I think, you know, I'm just, you know, a half glass full guy. I'm very optimistic. No matter what gets thrown at me, I try to stay positive. So bring it, Jim.
All right. Well, you asked for it. Let me start with this. I think let's just first get your overall reaction to the game. It was an emotional roller coaster. Now, folks have to understand, first of all, you're not there watching the game live. You have so many responsibilities on game day. You just watched it afterwards, a replay once you got home. Yeah. So you may not have captured it all, the emotion going on at game time.
Right.
But still, I just want to get kind of your feel of the overall picture of what happened on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I'll start off by saying, like, in the concourse, so I'm always running around in the concourse and inside and outside of the perimeter of the stadium. And they, in those, on the TVs inside, they have the game, but they don't have, like, the score or like, the quarter. Like, so I'll peek at it, and I just have no idea. So I quit looking at it. Then when I was loading some things up from a golf cart and leaving around the fourth quarter, I saw it was 10-17, and I honestly thought we were winning 10-17, about to score.
Yes.
I'm about to pull off, and some fans, I'm like, was watching the game. I'm like, what? So we're up 10-17, right? And he's like, no, we're down 10-17, but we're about to score. I'm like, oh, awesome. Perfect. So that's kind of how I got caught up. And then I caught the overtime, and then I rewatched it last night with Tiff, my wife, so we were catching up. And so that's kind of how my sequence went, that led to me watching the game. But the overall game, like, before was unbelievable. It was everything we talked about, right? It was the community coming together, and the excitement, the air, the electricity in the air, the everything was just awesome. The buildup was everything that, you know, we talk about. You know, just as a fan, right, of the whiteout game, it was unbelievable. The game as a whole, I thought it was kind of a chess match at the beginning, which, okay, when you look at it, you're like, oh, okay, that these are two teams. We talked about on our show on Friday about how, you know, Jim Knowles has seen this team twice now, right? So he knows what he's preparing for. He knows their personnel. He knows their tendencies, you know, so he's got a good, he's got a good idea what they're going to do. Offense, it just never seemed like both offenses could really get in the rhythm at first. And I know that is, you know, painful for Penn State fans, but they're a good team, right? So the chess match, I kind of liked it. It kind of made me feel like it was a little bit of old school ball. So I kind of liked it. And then, you know, they turned it on in the third and the fourth quarter. Obviously, that's an entirely different game. And then, you know, just unfortunate the way that it happened, you know, Drew throwing that pick to ice the game for Oregon. But just unfortunate. There's so many things in that game that when I watched it that, you know, even at the first quarter, it's like, if you remember, I believe it was the first or second quarter, definitely in the first half, when a ball was tipped and it hit AJ Harris right in the face mask. And it's like, dang, if he would have been able to, like, get lucky and just somehow that fell in his hands the right way, that could have been, like, pick six or something, could have changed the game, right? Or some of those atrocious non-calls on 33 deny. Like, that to me is, like, that's painful. I don't buy into all the social media stuff and the refs this, the refs that. But some of those clips I saw was really bad and really obvious. So a lot of these things, like one play here or there, it makes the difference, right, in these big-time games.
You know, It's funny you say that. I just put out on our Twitter account a screenshot of the most blatant one holding that, in my mind, it was the most blatant. And it was the timing, of course, was Oregon had ended up with a big play. I think it was a 26-yard pass. And in fact, by holding denied Dennis Sutton, it had an effect on the play. He wasn't able to get to the quarterback, which he would have otherwise. So sometimes the penalty is off somewhere away from the ball. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's a factor that's got to be called, but it really didn't affect the play. Here you had everything going on. It was a terrible non-call. It was it had an effect on the play, not getting to the quarterback. And it was one of Oregon's big plays and a drive that ultimately ended up in a touchdown. Now, before I go too far down that line of some of the officials' calls, the fact is, the truth is, Mike, I don't think Penn State played very well. So they have no one to blame but themselves. You know, I don't want to put this on the officials. However, there were a couple calls, and we'll get to those in more as the show progresses. But the other part to this, Mike, and you said, you know, you're a positive guy, a glass half full kind of thing. It got me to thinking, though, one of the great disconnects between coaches, players, as opposed to the fans, is with the coaches and players, you have to turn the page, okay? No matter what happens Saturday night, win, lose, or draw, this team has to start preparing for UCLA. Now, a fan might still say UCLA is not very good. It doesn't matter. It's still a conference opponent. You have to travel to the West Coast. All those things you have to get ready for. The fans can't give it up that quick. They're still in mourning, Mike, and will be. At least until game time next Saturday,
I get it.
Probably yeah. Longer than that. Yeah. And I think fans, we find it hard, you know, when a coach will come back on like a day later Sunday and say, time to turn the page, Oregon's over, we got to worry about UCLA. And the emotion from the fans is, I'm sorry, I'm not ready to turn the page. I still have a problem with Saturday's game.
Yeah, but that's because that's not their job, right? The right. Job in the building, that's their job, right? So it's their job to turn the page. It's a job to make sure that they, you know, after this loss, it's hard. It's not hard, but it's a challenge for all the coach and as an organization to make sure you get the team back to a mindset to turn the page, right? There's a lot of emotion and a lot of build up to that game. And when you come out of it with a loss, it makes it even harder because you hear the noise outside. So, you know, coaches and them, that's their job to do that. So they have to. That's how they're wired. They're going to move on. Unfortunately, you know, Jim and, you know, some other people that this is their job to talk about Penn State football. it's going to be a reminder. And it's that noise that honestly they're going to say to block out and focus on UCLA now because it's a long season, right? You know, I was going to save this, but what I keep thinking about when I think about this loss, I keep thinking about Ohio State, Michigan last year. I keep thinking about Coach Franklin post game and just he kind of had a different demeanor. You know, he's, you know, obviously just very disappointed. You know how much I love Coach Franklin and respect all the things that he does, and he lays it out there, right? And to see that, the pain of that loss for him, it just sucks. But I think about Ryan Day last year when he lost to Michigan. He had like a blank stare, like he just saw somebody die, right?
Yes.
And everybody in the world, you know, wrote them off. And then what they do, they use that and leverage that as a chip on their shoulder for the rest of the season. And then win the national championship. And to me, it was so much that they still have that chip on their shoulder and they're the number one team in the country. So I think there's a chance for us to do something similar, right? You know, we have a very veteran team, just like Ohio State did last year, you know, stacked roster. So I would not be surprised if they come out and they go on a run and we see a different team in the coming weeks.
Well, And that's the also the nature of college football. And you bring up Ohio State, which is a great example, because, Mike, if this was an outside force, nothing, you know, Ohio State had nothing to do with it, that the playoff rules changed last year and 12 teams were in the playoffs. Ryan Day had nothing to do with that change. He benefited from it, though, because that loss to Michigan in a previous year, he doesn't make a 4-team playoff with those two losses. In fact, Buckeye fans would still be talking about maybe it's time to move on from Ryan Day.
100%. Or Ryan Day would have just left because he didn't probably tired of it.
Well, in fact, in many ways, and I know coaches are, and I'm not one of these, and you hear it a lot of the noises, for the millions and millions of dollars they make, they could put up with blah, 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 whatever that putting up with it is. But when it's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter what you make. Mm-hmm. And for Ryan Day, but I think the bigger story is with sports is about redemption. You always get that redemption opportunity.
Heck yeah.
And, you know, you and I in doing this show, we've kind of had this little bit of, I'm ready to talk about Oregon and you're ready to talk about Nevada. Jim, it's Nevada week. It's, you know, one and one. Mike, I don't care. Yeah. I want to talk about Oregon because the day after Notre Dame game a year ago, I said, Drew Aller, that interception is so painful for him, I'm sure. It's going to live in his head till he gets his redemption opportunity, which is going to be Oregon. Yeah. So Jim, as a fan, from, you know, the end of that Notre Dame game till Saturday, that's all I was thinking about. And teams have to think about, and players have to think about it differently than we do as fans, because they do have other games.
Yeah. You know, it's just, it's tough for me because I'm wired a little bit differently, but I also get the fan side of it. But, like, as a coach and as a team, you got to worry about each game. It's a long season. It's all about getting better each game, you know. And I think those first three games, that's what they were trying to do, you know, from a Penn State standpoint and, you know, trying to get a rhythm in offense, figure out some new things with a new defense coordinator on defense. You know, we had some highs, some lows. We're playing a lot of young players. But then, again, I'll talk about, you know, I was talking to one of my buddies at Tennessee.
I'll tell you what, Mike. How about we get to that story right? We're at a hard break right now. We'll do that, though, as soon as we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. Our show is brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, servicing 31 sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. For more information, you could go to happyvalleyunited.com. I am with, speaking of HVU, Mike Villagrana, Executive Director at HVU. And Mike, I cut you off before we got to the second quarter, but I did just want to mention also, it's still, you talked about it early on, the environment in, say, college, but talking about Happy Valley United, you were nice enough to invite me to the Whiteout event Friday night at Toff Trees. Very nice event. And that was just like the kickoff to the whole Whiteout weekend.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, and it actually started with the Pat McAfee show. So Pat McAfee, he did his show from the which was awesome. I don't know if people knew. I think it was, I have no idea, to be honest, but I think it was kind of put together last minute. They were able to get it done. And, man, that set up, everybody that saw his show, the scene with the background, it was awesome. And then that rolled into our show, right? Our official launch to have – you know, our recruiting show with me, you, and Chris, and you know, that was our second time doing it, and I had so much fun doing it at Buffalo Wild Wings, and we were able to get Troy Huhn, our 2026 quarterback commit, on with his dad, and you interviewed them and got them heated.
Can I just stop you and just comment on, if you hadn't heard the interview, and I'm gonna have to post it on our website too, it was on our YouTube channel. Just real quickly, Troy is such a nice young man, and so was his father, and the interaction between the two of them was just fantastic. They're going to be a great Penn State family.
Yeah, the dad I hadn't met until that day, so it was really cool getting to know him and just kind of reaffirm that, you know, they're Penn State kids. They're our Penn State family. I talk about it all the time, you know, Coach recruits a certain type of kid with a good family and, you know, just a good head on his shoulders. And he's that guy. And he's tall. Like, he is tall, long, articulate, like very mature. He seems like it, like just good. And he just seemed like they had a good time on the show. So I appreciate you doing that, Jim.
It was my pleasure. And my takeaway more than anything else, yes, it looks like he's got a great frame that could be filled out, all of that stuff. And I'm getting old because I'm just saying, what a nice kid. And, you know, the Penn State, maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, especially today.
Yes. But the closer I get to the program and talk to players, there's just so many, and I can't help, they're kids. To me, they're kids. And, you know, we see them from the stands, they're football players, and you think of them now the same way you think of the NFL players. But the fact is, you know, how old's Troy? 17, 18 years old? You know, if that were your son, you'd be calling him a kid. Well, that's what he is.
You know, I don't know.
Very nice kid.
Yeah, I'm 41, and I do it a lot. And sometimes I got to check myself. Kid, oh, well, he's a grown man, you know. But yeah.
You know, by the way, I call you a kid also, Mike.
Oh, thanks.
No, 41, but you're a pop.
Yeah, but that was, I thought it went really well for our first time bringing on a recruit. Probably couldn't have had a better family to roll it out, but – you guys were awesome. You got them talking golf. And so for the fans that haven't heard it, go check it out. It was pretty cool. But to what you were saying, we did that. And then, you know, we had our rest of our show with me, you, and Chris, and had fun with that. And it was packed in there. It was a really good environment, especially by the time that we were done. And then when we finished up, then I had to go home and I had my son with me. I took him to the Whiteout party and, you know, got to, you know, just meet up with a bunch of people that, you know, me being here almost a year now is like this. I see the same people, but it's funny because I see the same people, but it's kind of spread out, right? I'll see them like in fragments, you know, maybe during meetings or Zoom or something like that. Then they all get in one place and it's like, hey, it's great to see you. Then you talk shop a little bit and then it's like literally just bouncing around the room. And you just hope you get to everybody. But what a good environment that was.
It really was. And by the way, it was great that you brought Dom along, your son Dominic, along with you. I got to meet Dom.
Yeah, you now, met the Dominator.
Do you know what that means, of course? One of these days, like, I have to meet your daughter, too.
Oh, yeah, you'll meet her. Yeah, but it was cool. So at that event, you know, we had a ton of lettermen there. Christian Hackenberg, Kabinda. We had Michael Motti. And it was cool for me to introduce Dom to, like, Motti, because he just started tackle football. And he's getting the hang of it. And he had just had, a big tackle for the first time. And so I told Motti that. Like, talking to Dominic was like talking to like a player. It was awesome. I said, you know, the best linebackers in the history of Penn State. And Dominic kind of took a step back. He's like, really? Yeah. And then they were starting to talk about that, talk about making that first tackle, what a feeling it is. And like, and it kind of struck me off a little bit. Like, what are you talking about, Marty? That's a little, you're getting a little weird, but okay. That's pretty cool. So yeah, that was cool. Having him there, he ended up falling asleep on some chairs, but we got him out of there.
Well, that's what makes those memorable events and makes them attractive, to get to meet some of these former players as just normal guys, you know, people that are approachable and you can talk to.
Yeah, and you know who else I met is very popular on the Twitter world or X world is Caroline, right? She's very supportive. She's always, like, at the games and events, and I got to meet her. I was telling my wife this last night. She's a lot taller than I thought. Just, you know, when you see somebody on person, like, he's smaller than I thought, or you know, she looks like an athlete.
Well, anyway, we got to circle back. I actually cut you off at the end of quarter one. You were getting ready to tell us a story that involved Tennessee.
Yeah, and kind of just with the times of college football, and how I know as fans, it sucks losing. It does. Like, it sucks. I was kind of going through the office today, and it's just a different vibe. You know, everybody, it's a Sunday for them. They're going to operate like a normal Sunday, move on to, you know, UCLA. But obviously, that, you know, there's a little bit of that, you know, hangover from the previous night that everybody will shake off by today, and then going tomorrow, it's all UCLA. But, you know, talking to my buddy after they lost to Georgia, you know, that game earlier, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago or three weeks ago now. That was kind of a heartbreaker, right? They had the game, they kind of had a chip shot, and he pulled it. And then they end up losing Georgia at home at Tennessee. So, and, you know, my buddy, and he was a letterman here at Penn State, actually. He's just like, it sucks. But playoffs, it was a good game. You know, they may see him again. So it's kind of set now. It's like, it's not, oh man, the season's over. We're never going to make it now. We're never going to get to, you know, the 4-team playoff. I got to keep the team together now. What are they going to play for? Oh, it's still all in front of us. You know, I think Coach says the first thing we want is a Big Ten championship. Obviously, last night is makes it a little bit more of a challenge, but it's still in front of us. And that's me being a half class full optimistic guy.
Okay.
It's real.
I always say, you know, they say you're either a glass half full, glass half empty. Sometimes I say not only is the glass half empty, it's got a leak in it. You know, that's my negativity. And watching the game on Saturday, it was tough as a fan. And, you know, let's talk about the game itself a bit, Mike, to get your expertise. In that first half, the numbers are – as ugly as can be for first half. It was incredible, and credit to the Penn State defense that coming out of a half where the offense, just to read them off real quick to you, Drew Aller, 6 of 12 for 45 yards. 45 yards at halftime. The running game was just non-existent. The longest run for Penn State in the first half was 5 yards. And in their 5 possessions, they had – or 6, was it? There were 3 3-and-outs. It was very tough to watch. And I think part of what makes it so tough, Mike, is it's a wonderful quarterback. They're a tremendous pair of running backs. It's an offensive line veteran that looked so good at the end of last year, opening holes. The tight end room is still stacked. Good wide receivers that were brought in from the transfer portal. It was hard to watch that first half. I know you didn't get to see it live, but in the replay, what did you see that was it just Oregon's defense is just playing that good?
I thought it was both sides just trying to figure themselves out. Like I said at the beginning of the show, it was just like a chess match, like kind of like an old school chess match, but that's not what, you know, fans these days really want to see. They want to see points and light up that scoreboard. And when you get an offense loaded like ours and a very talented offense and talented quarterback like Oregon's, that's what you expect. So I kind of just look at it as like a very big game where they were figuring each other out in the first half, and they were trying to, make some tweaks on the go. But yeah, you wish you saw the offense looked a little bit more in rhythm in the first half. But like I said, I just think both sides were figuring each other out.
And we'll talk about this a little bit more in the next segment. I want you to respond to it as I drop my mic here. I've been saying for a long time, this is Coach Jim now, I think Drew Aller performs best in the two-minute offense. And I always use as Exhibit A against USC last year when the team fell behind multiple scores. And it almost felt like, okay, Drew, we got to score. We got to put points up, and it's kind of on you. And he really delivered. And it was fascinating to me that it wasn't until the team was down two touchdowns, the next two drives, well, especially the first one, it was a minute 55 and the very first play. And to continue as Coach Jim, everyone said, why don't they run the ball more? Two great running backs. I'd rather see them throw the ball on first down, make the defense react to that, and that will help up open up the running game. I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that, Mike, as soon as we get back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana. Mike, I closed out the last segment putting on my coaching hat. And this goes back a ways. In my mind, last year I was talking about this, and it seems like the comfort level that Drew Aller has in a two-minute offense. And it seems like the rest of the world, or at least the media world, was catching up. You know, we saw that, FIU or Villanova, I think, where end of the first half, minute and a half left. Hey, Drew, two-minute offense, just let it loose. He was 4 for 5, 55 yards, and they marched right down the field. And that was his best series. And it felt like that, too, in Saturday's game. The first time down two touchdowns. Threw the ball on first down. I think it was Luke Reynolds, picked up 9 yards. And I don't think coincidentally, then on second and one, it was the best run of the day from Catron Allen. So sometimes I wonder, hey, why not just let Drew Aller loose once in a while?
Yeah, but he's got to play in the confines of the system, right? So, like, the system isn't 2 minutes the entire game, which, based off what you're saying, you would like to see it because he turns it up, right? He looks pretty good when he's going 2 minutes in a high tempo. But it's really kind of night and day, right? Especially at the beginning of the game, like Kolesnicki does a ton of like motioning and shifts and stuff. That definitely takes away from the tempo a lot. But you know what? I remember the first time I was here with Trace. Jomo, he did a ton of that too. Like he was supposed to be fast paced tempo, but he usually took the clock all the way down to like under 5 seconds because he was doing all kinds of checks and stuff like that. And play fast, but yeah, I'm with you. I wish I could see a little bit more fast paced tempo because he just looks comfortable doing it.
And I think that's
the defense on the hips a little bit.
It's more to me, it's like a comfort level. And I don't necessarily want him to do that every series, but it just seems to get Drew into a comfort zone where, if I could put it this way, he doesn't have to think more. He just instinctually just seems more comfortable with it, seems better with it. So you mentioned that to Andy Kotelnicki next time you see him. You say, Jim said. Remember the last time, you gave my advice, we threw the ball to an offensive lineman. And, let's get Mike to a couple of the controversial calls. And, again, you can't put things on the officials, but there were two calls that I was struck by. And one was there was a fumble, Oregon knocking on the door, fumbled the ball. Penn State returns it to about midfield or so, really seemed like a momentum changer. And they went to replay to say, was the running back down prior to the fumble? And it was well before. A lot of times it's just at the fumble, was his knee down first? This was actually a couple steps prior. And I'll be honest, watching it live, I said, they're bringing this back. There's no doubt in my mind. But then watching the replay, it was very close, Mike. I'm still trying to figure out how it was so close that they could overturn it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, everybody is like that, right? Even like the old Twitter sphere, like everybody, and their moms, I think, would agree with you on that. It was just kind of all over. We talked about earlier about the non-calls, that is, on deny in our defensive line. And then even like from our end, Amari Campbell not getting that targeting.
Yes.
Tiffany, my wife, we're watching the replay, and she's like, if that's not targeting, what is? And that's nothing against, it's more against what we're talking about. The refs just not, calling a good game. Because, and Amari, by the way, played his tail off. And I thought we got a dog in Amari. That was a great pickup, getting him from UNC. But it's just their calls were all over the place, Jim, and it sucks because that's not what you want to be talking about right now. You want to be talking about decisions the coaches made, decisions the players made, who played well, who didn't play well. But we're talking about the refs, the guys in the stripes, and that stinks.
And I think the you mentioned several times, I believe, deny Dennis Sutton was being held. I think he's this year's Abdul Carter. We saw that a lot last year with him. And my take on it, like you always hear, holding could be called on every play if they really wanted to. A lot of things happen in the interior of the line. But when it's the defensive end, it's separate. It's very obvious. 100,000 fans from the bleachers were already booing as the play was going on. Like, how could you not call that? And of course, it had the effect on the play. The quarterback was able to roll out. It was a big play on their way to scoring on that possession. So when the calls, the holding calls, I think some of them were blatant. The fumble, when they overturned that, to me, boy, it was just too close. Had they called him down on the field, I don't think you could have overturned it the other way either. I think whatever was on the field, they should have stood with because it was that close.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, hey, and on deny, I had two different scouts hit me up today that were at the game and said 33 is a dog. He is a dude. So we're lucky to have Danai, especially after falling up to just having Abdul. Like, it's just the lineage of this defensive big time players is pretty cool to see real time.
Let's go back to the rest of the game. And again, so much of it is about the offense. And I'm looking for, Nick Singleton's numbers, for example, 11 carries for 25 yards, a 1.9 average. You with this offensive line, Mike, you really don't expect to hear that kind of line from Nick Singleton. What are you seeing that's, you think, the root cause of that?
I don't know. It's just last night, again, just sitting there with my wife watching the rewatching it, and it just didn't seem like they ever could really get in a rhythm collectively. You know, you got a lot of people, at one point, I think Coach Kolnicki had like three tight ends out there, which is sweet. I love that, right, being a former tight end. Yeah. But that also, that brings a lot of people in the box, so it's like it gets cloudier. I guess some people can look at it like that, but, it's just we're just not in a complete rhythm yet. Those explosive plays that we're used to seeing, we're just not seeing them right now. But they're going to get it figured out eventually. I thought Katron had a couple runs that he ripped off that was pretty good. Nick just doesn't look comfortable right now, fitting the holes and, like, really that burst that we've seen when he hits the holes, right, that separates himself. You really haven't seen a ton of that, but they're going to get it right. And like I said, this is a long season. Good thing this game wasn't at the end of the season. We got a lot of games that hopefully by the end of the season we'll forget about this and our offense is humming by the end of the year. That's the plan, right? Get better every week. Every week, get better.
Well, and that's the part of it, though. And again, we talked earlier about the difference between the fans and the team. The team now – turn the page. I'm going to keep saying that. They're able to do that, and they need to do that because they do have a game coming up.
It's tough, but it's tough, too, because they're human. I mean, everybody in that building is human, right? But they're told and they're wired, all right, I know this sucks, but we got to get over it because we got a long season. We still have all our goals in front of us. So they have to do that, right? Or if they don't do that, there's going to be a lot more pissed off weeks from the fans because they're not going to be playing well if they're going to continue to think about Oregon.
And, I realize I'm part of this problem, okay? I feed it. I've all summer saying it's a two-game season. It's Oregon and Ohio State.
And that's an unfortunate thing, Jim. That is the unfortunate thing for our fan base because we live and die off of, like, two games. And this goes back to my last year here since 17, when we lost to Michigan State in a kind of a flop game because of that rain delay, went inside and it was ridiculous, and lost that game. The way that it was, like, set up with our schedule and who had won and everything already, like, none of the games really mattered in a sense from the fans' standpoint. We had to win out, but we knew we weren't going to the Big Ten championship game. So that goal was kind of out of the picture. So it was just kind of a weird feeling, like, which sucks. Like, you don't want to. It's that 1-0 campaign, 1-0, mindset. But it's tough when all the fans talk about is Ohio State or Oregon, right? That's it. And then if you don't win those games, it's the end of the earth. But I get it. I get it from that standpoint. I thought Coach was, and the great thing about Coach Franklin, you say whatever you want, but he took full accountability last night on that press conference. And, like, just, it's like it's so humbling, especially in this time, in this world where people like to point the finger and not the thumb. And Coach Franklin, he takes it. You could tell it was very painful. That just speaks a lot about our head coach.
And I think as fans, and you go, oh, they make lots of money, we have the right to boo and all of that. But the fact is,
Jim, not to cut you off, but on that point,
no,
on the point of these guys make a ton of money, I would like a lot of people to go in their shoes for about a month, try a 30-day, like a 30-day diet, right? Try 30 days to do what they do, and for the amount of money, and I don't know if that check would matter to some people. I think, I don't know. I don't got this. I can't do this. You could take that money. I think there would be a handful of people, or they just wouldn't be able to do it well.
Right. That's the more important point. And I think there's a lot of people running businesses in private industry who make a lot of money, but they don't come into the office and have 100,000 people watching them. And when you make a mistake, or even you do it right, but the outcome isn't what you want, have 100,000 people booing and, you know, looking to take your job away from you. Okay. You know, it's a much different mindset of what you have to deal with. Every mistake is amplified. It's out there. And, yeah. You know, that's yeah. the way it comes with the turf. I know James knows it, and to be able to handle it. And when we come back though, Mike, what I want to ask you about is specifically Coach Franklin. You know the numbers, you know the stats. It's a national story, and it's an easy one. Everyone puts it out there, and it's the same thing. I mentioned to you this week, Wall Street Journal, of all places, comes out with an article, Drew Aller can't win the big game. I want to talk to you when we get back how both James Franklin and Drew Aller handle that.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana. It's quarter number four of our show. And it's funny, we were talking between segments on Fridays of home games, and this will be going forward the rest of the season. Informational update, 2 hours from 2 to 4, Buffalo Wild Wings and State College on Garner Street. Fantastic atmosphere, lots of fun. We're going to have special guests, recruits on, a lot of fun. That was 2 hours. We only get 1 hour together during this show, and it goes very quickly, Mike. I closed quarter three, though, out talking about what James Franklin and Drew Aller have to go through. It's the national media, and, literally there were fire Franklin chants going on. You know, that's a tough way to do your job when you have so many people chanting that kind of thing. And ironically, of course, that's when it was 17-3. We didn't hear those chants when a couple touchdowns to tie it back up, Mike. But the question is, how does Coach Franklin respond to this type of media attention, negative media attention?
Sure. Well, it starts from Coach Franklin and what he's going to do. Look, this isn't the first time he's heard this noise and this distraction type of stuff outside the facility. Going back to 2015, when I was first here, I think it was my second game, second real home game. And we were playing, Temple. And we were coming off a loss, a great game against Pittsburgh. And we lost that game. And then they announced Coach at the introductions. This is 2015, or no, sorry, 2016. And they booed him. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I just got here and they're booing this head coach already. Like, dang, I gotta tell Tiff, I don't know. And I thought we were in a good place. but look, he was getting booed then. We won a Big Ten championship that year. He's getting booed now. It's part of it. We get it. And like I was telling you on the break, it's like, I try not to be like so like pro positive, but I am. But I also see things from like the coaching world because I've lived it. Tiffany last night, you know, at the end when we were finishing up watching the game, she's like, they're booing Coach Frank. Who else are they gonna get? You know, like she's talking from a coach's like from my world, like, you know, we've been part of that where coaches have been fired and let go, and you've dealt with crazy fans, and it's just like there's families, you know, it's all that stuff. You know, I feel for Coach Franklin, you know, his daughter. You know, walking with him off in the tunnel, you know, that's just got to be so painful for him. And, you know, but he's got the skin for it, obviously, you know, going back to 16, we won that freaking Big Ten championship, you know, and he was getting booed. I think I remember hearing rumors they wanted Matt Rhule, for the job. There were always rumblings there. So, I mean, look at the two, how the two different coaches ended up, you know? So I think he's going to be fine. I think he will emphasize the noise and not to listen to the noise. I think Drew's built for that because I don't even think he's on social media, at least not on Twitter. And Twitter's really the toxic one, to me. So I think they'll be fine. And I think some of those leaders will step up too. It's not just Drew, right? It's some of those, the Nick Dawkins of the world. It's even Kyron Hudson of the world. The Dom DeLucas of the world. Like, leaders, like, they're going to help this team back up. I promise you guys that. Like, this team is a very close-knit team. So, like I said, like, hopefully this is, like, 16. And we're holding the Big Ten championship trophy.
Well, and again, early in the show, I talked about this. That's the great thing about sports. There's so often the opportunity for redemption. You gave the great example of Ohio State last year. And college football is so much more set up for that, that one loss isn't going to destroy you. And there will be fans who will look at this as, okay, I could just tune out now until Ohio State. But the schedule has a couple tests. I mean, the team has to go to Iowa. The team is going to host Indiana, who has looked really good and is a top team. So there are going to be challenging games between now and going to Columbus. So it's a much different game. And I admire, you know, the players and the coaches. As you mentioned, James Franklin, he's been through this before and come out the other end. I think it's tough for Drew Aller. There's a difference between, you know, a 50-year-old man and a 21-year-old, and yes, I'll say it again, a kid. And, you know, Drew's going to suffer the slings and arrows from that game. But you know what? He's going to have some more opportunities for redemption, Mike.
Yeah, 100%. I feel for Drew. I feel for any, like, quarterback that's just, like, just under super – just everything that they do is – one of those guys, you know, he's a polarizing kid, big, has all the tools. You know, he looks young, but, you know, like to me, he's an older guy. You know what I mean? He's been around the block. I feel for those guys, but, you know, he's older. He's been through it. You know, he talked about it at the quarterback club the other week. I think it was the first week he spoke. And Drew's awesome when he speaks to crowds. And he goes, you know, I wasn't good with social media. I think that first year that he played, and it got to him. He admitted, and I've said this multiple times on the show. You know, to have that self awareness is pretty cool to see him like see that it was affecting him. So what did he do? He fixed it. So he got off of social media, or at least Twitter, and it helped him. So hopefully, I think he's built for this. That he won't. He'll be okay. And, you know, it all that matters really is those people in the Lash building.
Well, I also
because hey, here's Jim. Here's the other thing, too. Because when he's back, all those people that are booing him, they're going to love him again. They have their memory is not that long when we start winning again or we win a big game or Drew throws for five tutties and 400 yards.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're saying game to game. Forget that. It's quarter to quarter. Saturday night, I mean, the first half, he was the Antichrist. Yeah, but then,
yeah. You know what this is like? You know what this is like, honestly? I talked about it a little bit. Yeah. But I'm a lifelong Browns fan. You know, I know. It's unbelievable. It's been 41 years of nothing. But the Browns fans, it's every time in the offseason, it's like, this is our year. This is our year. We're going to do it. We're going to the Super Bowl. And then the first drive, we, you know, run for like 1 yard, and it's just booze. We stink again. We're never going to do it. That's like our fan base right now, in a sense. To me, it kind of reminded, kind of similar. And I saw a funny tweet last night I told you about. And he's like, I'm a Browns fan. And he's like, get serious, and went on a rant for two minutes. And I just thought it was funny. It's just the fans and the fandom and how they get carried away. But it's also why this game's awesome, too.
Well, sports, again, is great redemption, way to go. That's why we're such fans. My best little meme or video on this, I'm a Mets fan. I don't know if you watch Family Guy at all or ever have. But there's a thing where a Family Guy episode where Stewie, the little baby, he's at a Mets, and it's opening day for the Mets, and here's the first pitch. The other team hits a home run. Season over. And that's what it's like to be a Mets fan, a Browns fan, but there's always the possibility for redemption, and we saw that, you know, pointing towards Oregon as the redemption game. There will be other games coming up, you know, so don't abandon this team. They're going to have a chance for comebacks and seasons that you mentioned, you know, the 2016 year, loss early, and you come back from that. And that's the possibility. And that's why teams, you know, how do they react to losses like this tough one, Mike? It appears that we have lost Mike. We've got 2 minutes to go with the show, so I guess that means you need to listen to me for these last 2 minutes. The few things from this game that I think are worth noting that we didn't get to with Mike is obviously the fan reaction in the stadium. You know, the Fire Franklin. I'm not one of those who says, okay, you should never do those things. You have the right as fans to do that. But I'll always ask, you know, does that really help the team? Which ultimately, you're dressed in white for the whiteout. You're a Penn State fan. I get it. You're frustrated by it. I was very frustrated by it, watching it. And there's things that I'm very disappointed in. Yes, disappointed in James Franklin, disappointed in Drew Aller, disappointed in his performance, disappointed in Andy Kotelnicki. The offensive line, the running backs, you name it. I was disappointed, and yes, you could interpret that as meaning they deserve to be booed for that performance. But I'll also put out there, does that really help anything at all? Ultimately, you're a Penn State fan, and you want what was best. So when you saw this game, and it was 17-3, and I know a lot of you were there Saturday night watching, cheering, expecting more from your team than what you got, okay? I get it. I understand that. But you're not helping the cause. And remember, down 17-3, all of a sudden you changed your tune. When they scored the two touchdowns, they tied it up, okay? That's when the team actually at 17-3 really does need the support. When they came back out in the field and the fans were responding, the fans helped. Again, the end, I'm with you. Disappointed. The last interception, that was an ill-advised pass. Threw in the coverage. Drew Aller said after the game his intention was to get it over the defender, obviously, give Luke Reynolds an opportunity. That was not the right place to go. So I'll tell you what.
Hey.
Mike, I've got 10 seconds to wrap up the show. I just did filler. You got 10 seconds.
10 seconds?
Yes. Wrap it up for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, this was a great weekend. Obviously, we didn't come out like the way that it did, but hey, the sun came up today. It's early, and I'm confident that hopefully we'll be holding that Big Ten trophy at the end of the year, like 16.
All right. Let's go with that. That's the final word. Thank all you all for joining us. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.